I'm sure you realize this, but God's grace is essential to your salvation. But never forget that grace is also central to living out the Christian life. This is so important because thousands of Christians live their lives bound by rules and policies that we call legalism. The internal transforming work of grace should motivate you to live for Christ, not conform to unbiblical expectations. This lesson is called The Death of Legalism.
Well, today in our journey, we sail into one of the most controversial statements in the New Testament. We're now here in Romans chapter 6, and Paul writes this in verse 14. You are not under law, but under grace. Let me tell you, this little phrase here has divided believers from each other. It's split churches down the middle. It's created a lot of confusion, differing opinions in the Christian community at large. And that's rather tragic because Paul intended verse 14 to be a summary statement that brought Christians celebration, not division. Paul has just delivered the news that we're no longer bound in sin. We're secure in our salvation. We're able to dedicate our lives to the glory of God. But now this verse summarizes our redemption by the grace of God. And yet this has become one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. So what does Paul mean that the believer is no longer under the law? Well, the word for under in the Greek language means under the control of, or you could translate it in subjection to. Paul is saying here that the believer is no longer in subjection to the law. He's now under the controlling influence of grace. You know, to miss what Paul means here can distort every aspect of your life. To get it right means to inspire every aspect of your life. And let me make three observations here. First, Paul is saying that the Christian is not under the demands of the law in order to gain God's approval. Now remember, salvation is by the grace of God in spite of the fact that we break the law. Secondly, we're not under the penalty of the law. Paul writes later on here in chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin, that is the penalty for having broken the law, is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In other words, salvation is a gift, and every person who receives it has broken God's law. So salvation is not given to those who can perfectly keep a list of rules, all the law. It's given to people who want a relationship with the Redeemer by grace through faith, having broken the law. Now, the failure to understand this verse has led many to a life of legalism. They got their list out, they're checking it twice, so to speak, and all the while they're missing out on this relationship that's freely offered to them by the grace of God. Let me make a few contrasts between legalism and grace here. First, the standard of legalism is always external. The standard of grace is internal. The law deals with external compliance. Well, that's its role. And the more obedient we are to the law, the more orderly our society will be. And by the way, that's a good thing. However, that only relates to external order. It doesn't have anything to do with the dynamic of grace, which is a matter of the heart. Let me put it this way. You can stop at all the stop signs out there. You can chew your food with your mouth closed. You can show up for your job on time. You can follow all the orders from those in authority over you. You can be a model citizen externally and absolutely pagan, wicked, internally in your thoughts and desires. On the other hand, grace starts, it works on the inside where no one but God sees, and that's where He works to change our thoughts and our plans and our attitudes. You see, grace works from the inside out. Now, let me make another observation here. Secondly, since the standard for legalism is external, it follows that the foundation for legalism is rules, while the foundation for grace is relationships. Legalism is always going to major on the minors. It always exaggerates the non-essential things of life, those things written down in the book of Second Opinions. And let me tell you, that's always been a bestseller, especially in the religious world. The focus of legalism is external compliance. The focus of grace is internal character. You see, legalism is more interested in what people do. Grace is more interested in who people are. And frankly, we like legalism because it creates rules that show how good we are as we follow them. Grace creates this relationship with God that shows us how good God is. And by the way, it's no coincidence that the throne of God is referred to in Hebrews 4:16 as the throne of grace. Remember, you can approach his throne with boldness. Why? Because God is going to relate to you in grace through his Son. Now, let me give you a third contrast between legalism and grace. The objective of legalism is conformity. The objective of grace is transformation. Legalists seem to take comfort in other people doing the same things they do or don't do. They form little cliques. They feel secure when they're around people who have the same checklist of do's and don'ts. Now, frankly, every one of us faced this problem early on in life, even as little children. It's called peer pressure. It's the pressure of your peers to dress alike, talk alike, think alike. Now, legalism, beloved, is just a grown-up form of peer pressure. But let me tell you, it's a lot more dangerous because it attaches the name of God to that list of rules, and it determines for you what pleases God. And it's also dangerous because it's based on external things. So it's possible to conform on the outside without actually being transformed on the inside. Therefore, somebody could become the chairman of the deacon board or the leader of the missionary society because he seems to do everything he's supposed to do, and yet at the same time he might possess an internal character that's far different from his external conformity. Now, I want to add one more contrast here as we talk about this subject. Here it is. The fruit of legalism is fear. The fruit of grace is fellowship. You know, when Moses brought those stone tablets down from Mount Sinai, he didn't bring liberty. He brought the law. Now, it was designed to bring civility, which is a good thing, but civility cannot create spirituality. That's going to take another mountaintop event to bring about freedom. We call it Mount Calvary. The cross of Christ released us from the spirit of fear and replaced it with fellowship with God. The inspiration for obeying the Lord today isn't fear that God's gonna zap us from heaven if we get out of line. No, our incentive for holy living is the gratitude that we have for God, who loved us and gave himself for us on the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ. Legalism brings fear, and that produces only greater guilt. Grace, on the other hand, brings fellowship, and that produces only greater gratitude. I think of Matthew Henry, the famous Bible commentator of the early 1700s. He was robbed by thieves one day. And let me tell you, being robbed was an event that might have made him wonder if God loved him, or maybe if God was upset with him, or maybe he wasn't living like he ought to live. But instead, at the end of that day, Matthew Henry wrote this in his journal. Here's what he wrote. First, let me be thankful. I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they didn't take my life. Third, although they took my all, it wasn't much. Fourth, let me be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not I who did the robbing. Well, that was written by a man who was transformed internally by the principle of grace, and he demonstrated that here with an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude for the God of all grace to whom he belonged. It didn't make him fearful that God didn't love him. It made him thankful that God did. Well, that's who you belong to today by faith in Christ, beloved. And the Lord wants to do something in you today. He wants to put to death the natural inclination of legalism, that is, the desire to please him by keeping all the rules that you've made or trying to be perfect. Instead, he wants you to rejoice in your fellowship with him today. So why don't you take some time today to thank the Lord for his truly amazing grace. Until we set sail again, beloved, next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Stephen called today's lesson, The Death of Legalism. I'm glad you joined us. If today's lesson was a blessing to you, please consider sharing it with family and friends. It's available on our website, wisdomonline.org, so you can easily share it on social media or by email. I hope you'll do that. Is there anything happening in your life right now where you could use prayer? If so, we'd be honored if we could pray for you. We have a team of people who pray by name for every request that comes into our ministry. Anytime you're dealing with a burden, an issue in your life, a health crisis, or anything that requires prayer, we'd be honored to intercede for you. We have a place on our website where you can go and submit your prayer request. You'll find that at wisdomonline.org/prayer. As soon as you submit your request, it'll be routed to our prayer team, and you can know that that team will be praying for you. We'd also appreciate your prayers for us. Each week, we pray for a different country where our ministry is being heard. There's information on that same page about that. If you'd like to speak with us, our phone number is 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. We're in the office on weekdays, and we'd be very glad to speak with you. Please join us back here next time as Stephen continues traveling through God's Word on the Wisdom Journey.